Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all. It's those downstairs and the angels in the gallery. It's lovely to have you, the angels in the gallery, Wayne and Sharon. So it's good. David Butler is going to be leading the service today, but it just comes down to me just to give you a couple of notices. If we can turn the PowerPoint off now, that'd be great. Thank you. Messy Church this coming Saturday, 9:30. Do pray for Messy Church. Some new people coming along this particular time. And do invite people to book in with David and Rowena. But a great blessed time is had at Messy Church. And it's not that messy. Because it's talking more about our messy lives and the fact that God takes us just as we are. Mess or not, and he receives us. So do come along if you can with children, school age children. Talk to David and Rowena, book them in, and do pray. Second notice: outside on the table there is a master copy for the church directory. So could you please check your entry in the directory to make sure it's correct? And if you're not in the directory and you'd like to be, then just write your name and details on the blank bit of paper that's there, and then you can be added to be included in it. And that's it. The notices. Over to you, David.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning there will be an opportunity for refreshments in the Crosslink Centre, if you feel so inclined afterwards. And I add my welcome to everyone here, particularly if you're a visitor amongst us. And I can see one or two of those. The regular worshippers, I was going to say how good it was to see the children. Can't see any children. Well, we're all children, aren't we? We're all children of God. And also we welcome those who will be listening to this service using the recording which is being made. I'm David Butler, in case you don't know me. My wife Josie will read from the Bible later, and our pastor Stephen will speak to us all later, young and not so young. During the service we will be thinking about receiving and responding to God's love. But before we do any of that, it's a special day in the life of our nation today, is it not? As our Queen Elizabeth acceded to the throne 70 years ago. What a remarkable thing. And so, it was felt appropriate to stand up, if you're able, and we're going to sing the national anthem. We'll just sing the first verse. I invite you to join with me in a reading which will appear on the screen. I will read the words in normal type. If you will read the words, please, in the bold type. A call to worship. Your love is better than life.
With my lips I will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands.
Because your Son has given me life.
With my lips I will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. In your name I lift my hands.
Because your Spirit is filling my life.
With my lips I will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. In your name I lift my hands.
Because your love is better than life.
With my lips I will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. In your name I lift my hands.
As our first song, we're going to sing what I think is one of the very best of the modern songs that's been written in recent years. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It takes quite a lot of breath, so if you're able to stand up, I think that would be beneficial. But if not, that's fine. Let's pray. God our Father, we thank you for your love towards us. We praise you for this beautiful world you have created, and that you created it not in monochrome, but in technicolor. The sky and the sea, the hills and the valleys, all kinds of animals and plants. We thank you, Lord, for food to eat and drinks to quench our thirst. We thank you for friends and family, for schools, for employment, and so many more things. We thank you for Her Majesty the Queen, for her example of faith and her dedication to serving the nation. We thank you for Christian fellowship and for the church to which we belong, wherever that may be. But above everything else, Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, who loved us so much that he died on a cross to take away our sins. Thank you that one day we can be with you both in eternity. But Lord, we are so sorry that we sometimes forget all you have done for us. And we do or say or think things which are wrong. And we know that that makes you sad, Lord. So we want to say this morning how sorry we are. Please forgive us and help us by your Holy Spirit to live the way Jesus taught us. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before Stephen speaks to us, we're going to sing two more songs. The first one is a lovely song by Stuart Townend, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And we'll follow that with the well-known song, Father, We Love You, We Worship and Adore You. Feel free to stand or to sit during these songs.
Deep the Father's love for us, our Master.
ministry amongst us. And we love to hear God's word expounded to us. And we're looking forward with anticipation to what you're going to share with us this morning. So may the Holy Spirit fill you, and God bless you, brother.
Amen. Isn't it good to be in an encouraging place?
Yes.
There's nothing like better than someone to put their arm around me and say, go on, go on. And that's one of the things we've missed, isn't it? This whole thing of connection. And even if we're not huggy people, there's something about somebody just being there saying, go on, go for it. So, as part of our discipleship course that we are looking at every Sunday, we've been exploring the fact that we follow Jesus in relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've been looking at how this wonderful truth that God is love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect loving community, and that God loves you and I. As I'm looking around this morning, I can see you all, and there's not one person here that God doesn't love. Isn't that a sigh of relief? Oh, he loves me, even me. And those listening, he loves every one of you. Who you are, where you are, as you are. And there are two questions for us today. Thinking about what we've been reflecting on the last 3 weeks. How do we receive God's love? How do we love God in response to his love? Those are the two questions. And there's lots of the bits of the discipleship course I love. But this day, this session, for many people, I think has the potential for a huge release and a huge blessing. And I love to bring this message of encouragement to you today. So I can't wait. But we're going to start with a story. Or actually, a story within a story. And before we hear it, there's a question that I have for you. And I've got the mic, and I'm afraid there's no children. So it's going to be coming to you. So, if you have someone coming to your house, to your flat, to your room, for a cup of tea or a meal, how do you welcome them? Anybody like to tell me how you welcome? If you've got somebody coming round for tea, how do you welcome them?
Are you?
For those who didn't hear that, Hilary's response was, tidy up. As Martha is her favourite Bible character, that comes as no surprise. Oh, that's great, isn't it? So, there's a whole lot of unwelcoming people in this church, because, oh good, Graham at the back, excellent. Tell me, how would you welcome somebody?
Shake them by the hand and give them a hug.
Shake them by the hand and give them a hug, okay. Anybody else, how would you welcome somebody coming to your... Jean?
With a smile.
With a smile. Excellent. Anybody else?
Welcome.
You have to welcome them.
Open the door and say, lovely to see you.
Open the door and say, lovely to see you. Wait a moment, Grace. Let me give you the mic.
Put the kettle on.
How many here put the kettle on? Yes. Yeah. Look, we're British. Are we not? Yes. Anything else? Anybody else? How you welcome people coming to your house?
Cake.
So in preparation, maybe buy some cake or make some cake. Leslie, how do you welcome people in your house?
I make sure I feel ready, because if I feel ready, then they'll get a nice welcome.
So you need to be ready. Oh, I will remember that, as that's my wife has just said that. Give Leslie time to be ready. How long do you want, dear? Right, is anybody else? Have I missed anybody else? No, right, okay, enough. It's always a dangerous thing asking open questions, isn't it? But it's fun. It's fun. So, in the story we're about to hear, Jesus has been invited to have dinner with a man named Simon. Now, when we read stories in the Bible, in fact, any bits of the Bible, but particularly stories, I've said this to some of you before, you would have heard me say this, it's a really good way of approaching the Bible. Our session of Alpha Course tonight is how and why to read the Bible. And this is a really good, simple approach whenever you're reading stories in the Bible. What do I learn about God? What do I learn about people? Is there a command to obey, a promise to believe in, or an example to follow? So what do I learn about God? What do I learn about people? Is there something for me to do, a promise to believe in, a command to obey, or an example to follow? Josie, over to you.
So we're in Luke chapter 7 and beginning to read at verse 36. And it can be found on page 1036. When one of the disciples invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him, at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, how many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven loves little." Whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Thanks be to God for his word.
It's got to be one of the most beautiful stories, hasn't it? Fantastic. So, how did Simon, the Pharisee, he's given the description Pharisee to start with, only later do we find it's Simon. So the most important thing is, he's a Pharisee. How did this Pharisee, Simon, show his love for Jesus? How did he show his love? He didn't. He had him round for dinner, but that wasn't because he loved him. He had him round for dinner because he was the number one act in town, perhaps. Or to quiz him, to have a go at him, to impress the other Pharisees, "I've got Jesus coming around." But it wasn't because he loved him. He didn't think he needed forgiving. He was a Pharisee priding himself, as we know from Scripture, they prided themselves on keeping the law absolutely minutely. They were the ones sort of enforcing it, if you like. They were the ones, examples of keeping the law. So he didn't think he needed any forgiveness. How did the woman show her love for Jesus? It cost her dearly. She had to walk into a room full of men, by implication, probably some of the people that she'd been with, if we think of what her life was. And she had to go in there, and everybody would know who she was, what she does. She was notorious in the town. I don't know if anybody of you were brought up in a village or a town where there's anybody like that. But if there was, everybody knew. She showed her love by paying the cost of her dignity. It's always tricky to imagine the situation. We haven't really got room to do it here now. But if you notice, she stood behind Jesus. So Jesus is sat down on a chair, and she's sat behind him.
It doesn't work, does it? That's not what happened.
Jesus is reclining, so he's lying down. They're in a circle with all their heads pointing in the middle, and they're lying down, like sort of those orange segments you have in a tub of orange segments. And they're all facing, they're all talking and so on. So his legs are out here somewhere. And she's behind, crying because of her love for Jesus. Tears rolling down her cheeks. So many tears, she can actually wash his feet with her tears. And she's got beautiful long hair, which would have been part of her attraction to the men. And now she's using her hair to dry his feet. And all that money that she's earned doing the wrong thing, she now spends a huge amount of money pouring perfume over his feet. We are meant to see it as an absolute contrast to Simon, who has a very different agenda. She is lost in her devotion. That wonderful hymn we have, lost in love, wonder, and praise. You know, I can't remember the three words now. Wonder, love, and praise. So why did she show Jesus such love? She'd received God's love through Jesus. She had already been forgiven. It's really important. When Jesus says at the end, your sins are forgiven, it wasn't then that they were forgiven. They'd already been forgiven. He was just saying, your sins are forgiven. No matter what they tell you, I'm telling you, your sins are forgiven. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. It wasn't her love that earned her forgiveness. She'd been forgiven. And so she loved. It's really important we get it that way around, doesn't it? And her many sins. Jesus doesn't go into detail. He doesn't embarrass anybody. He doesn't put anybody on the spot unless it's really essential. He just says, her many sins, they've gone. I don't even remember what they are anymore. They've gone. So, with this amazing story, I do encourage you to read it again at home, to reflect that there's so much in it. Have we received the love of God? How do we show him our love? Those are those questions that we had from the beginning. How do we receive? Have we received God's love? And how do we love him? We can't do what the woman did. Jesus is not physically here, and so we can't wash his feet. But where are his feet today? Remember when he said the thing you did in clothing the naked, visiting the people in prison, caring for those who are sick, providing food for the hungry, the least you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. So we can follow her example, and in response to the love of God, the great love of God that we're reminded of every time we look at the cross, when we sung those beautiful songs, when we've come to the communion table, whenever we are reminded of how much we've been loved by Jesus, we can follow her example and pour out our love. The way that we receive God's love and we express God's love will vary from person to person. The fact we love Jesus in response to his love for us is common. But how we express our love for Jesus is different. We are unique people and we are wired in a particular way. And we have different spiritual temperaments. We are different types of people. And each of us draws close to God to receive his love and to love him in different ways. Now we have a sheet here. Those on email, you've already received these notes for today, the session 6 on the on how to receive the love of God, how to respond. And you've also had a note about spiritual disciplines and spiritual temperaments. Now, for those who've not had an email, there are copies of these outside, and particularly the ones who were here last week, you've already got the notes, session 6 notes. What you haven't got is this sheet here, which is spiritual temperaments. The church has made many mistakes in the past and is still doing so today by trying to say there's only one way to receive God's love and only one way to express it. And of course, it's our way. If we are in a particular church or a particular denomination that says this is the way that you have to love God, but that actually just does not fit with who we are, the way that we're wired, our spiritual temperament, then we're going to be undernourished in receiving God's love, and we're going to feel guilty that we're not expressing love to Jesus as we want to. So what do I mean? Well, what I mean is, if you are, and there's I'll read some of these out because they're really great. So, naturalists. I have to get that one right. Naturalists. Most inspired to love God out of doors. If you ask many people, the place they're closest to God is outside. Sorry, guys, you're in church on a Sunday morning. Outside. That's why we bring the outside in. Thank you, Sue and Claire, for all you do. Sensates. Loving God with your senses, appreciating beautiful worship services, architecture, art, music, involving sight, taste, smell, touch. Traditionalists, you draw closer to God through ritual, through liturgy, symbols, and unchanging structures. You're helped by the historical dimension of faith, sacraments, sacrifice. Then you've got ascetics. It's a very tricky word to say that. Basically, those who prefer to meet with God in solitude and simplicity. This is really hard work, come to be with other people, when really you just want to be on your own. There are activists who love God through confronting evil, battling injustice, and working towards making the world a better place. Let me get out there and do something. Then there are similarly the caregivers, those who love God through loving others. They're always the one giving the lifts, getting alongside, sending a card, to just love people. Then there are the enthusiasts who love God through mystery and celebration, enjoying God's power, feeling their hearts moved. Oh, it was a corker of a service last week. It was fantastic. Whoom! That's what some people said to me last week. There'll be others who are thinking, yes, that was a really good time. And that's fine, because we are different people. Then there are the contemplatives who love God through adoration. You know, on a Wednesday evening, we've come, we've gathered for worship, an unstructured worship time. And a lot of it is contemplation. It's just, wow, God is great. And you might find pictures helpful. That's why we have pictures here, some of the pictures around there. You might have a little icon, something to look at. Debbie's got an icon at home, which is a picture of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit around a table with an open side to the table. Welcome us in. And then there are the intellectuals. Praise God for the intellectuals who love God by studying with their minds, mining the Bible, reading books, investigating and developing theology, apologetics, reasons why God did things and so on, explaining faith. None of us are just one of those things. We're a combination of all of them. So do say, take this lens, this back with you, and spend some time reflecting on who you are. So as I've gone through that list, you can see, if you're in a church that says, right, contemplation's the way, that's the only way to receive God's love and love God, then if you're an enthusiast, or a caregiver, or an activist, you're thinking, well, why am I, where do I fit in? If you're a traditionalist, and you're in a church that says, the only songs we sing are ones written in the last 5 years, you're going to be undernourished. You're going to say, well, where's my roots? Where's my pillars of stones, as I like to call them? Those songs that we sang at my baptism, those songs we sang at our wedding, those songs we sang at the funeral of my mum. You know, I could go on. There's all sorts of ways in which we need to receive God's love and to love him. And each of you are different. So on a Sunday morning when we gather together, we can't do everything, can we? We have 9 different spiritual temperaments and all the combinations. So what do? We have a little taster of contemplation, of silence, a bit of a taster of tradition, a bit of a taster of simplicity, a bit of a taster of celebration and mystery. What here? We have some caregiving. We have some activism. Right, I'll go and give a lift for 20 people. That's my way of loving God. And it is. Thank God for it. We need more people to bring people. So, my plea, my prayer is that we, each of us, will be free to be us. I hereby, if you've not heard me say it before, affirm every one of yours spiritual temperament. It's you. You are wired the way you're meant to be, and therefore receive God's love as you're meant to, and show it as you're meant to. And if we affirm one another and say, bring your spiritual temperament with you when you come into this church, then we're all free to be ourselves. And we love each other, don't we? We're free to be me. And that's why I have a variety of different types of service, meetings, gatherings. This isn't just for Sunday. This is when we come together with other people in 2s and 3s during the week. Find somebody perhaps you can just be with together, to contemplate together. Others on your own. You want to be on your own? Fine, be on your own. It's great. So let's all be who we're meant to be. Something that this is related to, and I don't know if you've come across these books. These are available to borrow from the church library. The love languages. Who's come across the original book, Love Languages? Yes. It's a simple message, and there may be people you know who need this, that in order for me to love Leslie, I need to fill her love tank up. That's the way he describes it. And there are, he put you here, five love languages, which is gifts, affirming words, touch, acts of service, and I forgot the other one. There are five ways of loving. And the basic message is if I'm loving Leslie, in fact, I've missed out Leslie's love language. I've missed out the very one there. So that's the problem. That's why I need this message. Quality time. Now, see, our love language, Leslie won't mind me sharing. Leslie's love language is quality time. My love language is affirming words. So when I'm looking for love, what I'm looking for is Leslie's affirming words. When Leslie's looking for love, she's not looking for me to buy a bunch of roses or give her affirming words or do the washing up. She's looking for my time. So it's the same thing. How do we receive God's love? How do we love God? Fortunately, he speaks all love languages. So he hears your love language today. If you love him today, he hears it, he receives it. This is really good for, say, married couples, whether they're getting married or been married for a long time, particularly if we're both a husband and wife are trying to love each other, but they're not feeling loved. It's because they're not recognizing their love language. And similarly, this is the same for children. Who has more than one child of their own? I mean, who has more than a child? You will be able to tell me, and you can tell it in the refreshments afterwards, how different your children are. And the love languages here is exactly the same. If you want to love one of your children, they might need a hug because they're huggy children. There might be some, they do not want a hug. What they want is you to sit on the floor with them, make their latest Lego model. They want time. That's what they want. And so, again, just to encourage you, if it's just such a freeing thing. Once you get it, you get it. And of course, we can all do this in church. There are people in the church who, hi, that's me loving them. If I was to shake their hand or to hug them, it would not be loving. Might satisfy me, but it wouldn't satisfy them. So, I'm not going to ask you to do it, but you think about the person you're sat next to. Do you know their love language? Do you know how to love them? Some of you do, and that's why you're good friends. Some of you haven't got a clue, because you don't know them. But you can have fun discovering. So, I could go on a lot more, but I won't, because we've got communion. On the other side of your sheet of paper is spiritual disciplines. Who likes spiritual discipline? Debbie, thank you, Debbie. Ian, we've got a couple. Spirit discipline's got a bad reputation, hasn't it? And that's why we're a lot of us in a mess. That's why a lot of us don't know God's love very much. Because we don't practice spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are things that are really helpful. They are not works. They do not gain us brownie points in heaven. They're not to be exercised with any sense of pride or feeling that we have made it. They are a response of love to God who loves us. We engage in spiritual disciplines, and I'm just going to read them. Meditation on the Bible, prayer, fasting, study, simplicity, solitude, submission, service, confession, worship, spiritual direction, and celebration. Who likes the spiritual discipline of celebration? All good. Excellent. Some of you will be surprised to see that there, because spiritual discipline is horrible. Not true. Not true. The whole idea of our spiritual disciplines is they are ways of making sure we receive God's love and we love him, because they correlate to our spiritual temperament. So what I want you to do is have a look at these. All of them are good. And at some time or other, we need to do all of them. But what I would encourage you to do is look at them and think, that's what I need to be doing, because that fits with who I am spiritually. So if you're an intellectual, no surprise, you're already doing it anyway, you study, because that they go together. But anyway, have a look. Enjoy it. So that's really the end of what I've got to say, really. We were created uniquely to receive God's love and to love him in return. We're created for a relationship with God through faith in Jesus, and we're born again by the Holy Spirit, and we become children of our Father in heaven with our own love language. We enter into a new relationship with God who is love. So we need to follow the example of this lady in the story. Let's receive God's forgiveness and let's love him with a grateful heart, without worrying about what anybody else is thinking. Let's keep loving him. Let's keep growing in love. Because we're going to be spending eternity with God. So let's get practicing now.
Let's just spend a moment or two just letting what Stephen has been speaking about, seeking this, go deeply into our hearts and our minds, and just asking the Lord, are you saying anything to me this morning? Thank you, Lord. I'm going to sing a song. Give me a heart that will love the unlovely. One of the ways in which we show our love to God is by loving other people, especially those who are in need. So either stand or sit, and we'll sing this together. Give me a heart that will love the unlovely. Which include communion, it is appropriate to offer prayers for the fellowship and for members of it who are ill or in particular need. And I invite you to pray brief prayers for such people, and also to pray for our fellowship. We have an AGM coming up very shortly, and we are particularly asked to pray about the question of the appointment of deacons. So we could pray about that. Let's remember those people who are meeting Sunday afternoons, week by week, on the alphabet. And let's also pray for our linked missionaries, Victor and Caroline, out in Guinea. So if you feel able to pray out loud, brief prayers, that would be good, so that we can all join in the Amen. Or if not, be assured God hears your unspoken prayers as well. Father, we thank you that you deign to listen to us when we pray to you, that you want the best for us and for the people that we wish to pray for, that you not only hear our prayers, but that you answer them, not always in the way we would expect. But we come to you in confidence, Lord, because we have known so many of your responses to our prayers in the past. So hear our prayers now, we pray. Amen.
Father, we pray for all those folk we haven't seen over the last few weeks, particularly remembering Liz and Paul and Connie, who sit on the front row. Lord, I pray you'll bless that home, you'll restore them all back to full health and strength, and return them to us in due course. And just bless them, I pray. Amen.
Yeah, pray your best Paul, who's still coming through COVID. Pray you'd release him from it and give him full strength. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for your loving God and your forgiving God. I thank you that you're here amongst us today. And we continue to bless us and fill us anew with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you, Lord. You tell us to encourage one another while the day is still going today. I love that phrase that we do, Lord. I love the family. gather our praise and worship, as we come into your presence, as we lift up praises to your name, it activates the kingdom of heaven. We receive the glory. We receive the glory of God. Lord, I invite the glory of God to come here for each one of us right now in this room, as I pray, as I encourage you, as I worship you, as I give you praise and thanks. I thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God is moving here in this place. And as we worship and thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us, so that the passion of God is pouring out His Spirit upon each of us. And Lord, as your Spirit comes, as your passion flows, as you show us how to do this, so we have everything that we need. Everything we need is in under an open heaven. We receive our healing. We receive our forgiveness. We receive everything we need from you, and we thank you with open worship by praising your name and giving glory to the name of Jesus, through whom our sins are forgiven. We worship you today, our Father.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord,
yes,
for loving us so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
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 Well, I want to pray for our missionary couple, Victor and Caroline, out in Guinea in West Africa. We thank you that we've had a recent prayer letter from them to give us pointers to how we should be praying for them. But we have learned in this particular letter that after being at a conference with other Christian people, all to do with outreach into the land of Guinea, one of the pastors who was there fell off his motorbike on his way home and was killed, and has left behind his wife and family and a church without a pastor. And Lord, that's very difficult, because Victor and Caroline are being asked a lot of questions like, why? So Lord, we pray that you will enable them to rise above this, and that you will answer all their prayers regarding their mission, their gospel work that they're doing over in Lavé in Guinea. We pray too, Lord, for ourselves, for your guidance regarding the election of deacons. We thank you for all our deacons and all the work that they do, and the way that they keep so many things running in our church, and it takes a lot of commitment and time. We pray that you will lead us to those you want to serve us in the coming year. So Lord, we offer you these, our prayers that we've spoken, but also the unspoken prayers of our hearts, asking that you will meet the needs of those we have prayed for, and draw close to us, Lord, and meet our needs day by day. We thank you, Lord, for your daily blessing. Make us a blessing to those around us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we come to communion, we'll just sing another song. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice.
Many times.
Church here at Winter Street, we have what is called an open table, which means that whether you're a member of the church or not, or whether you're a visitor, you're very welcome to share in the communion meal if you are someone who loves the Lord Jesus and wants to follow him and wants to love him more. Can I ask the service to come and stand with me. Thank you. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not out of any goodness of your own, because that doesn't give you a right to come. You need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. When we bless the cup of blessing, is it not a means of sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, is it not a means of sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf. We, many as we are one body. For we all share one loaf. Lord, we come to your table, trusting in your mercy, and not in any goodness of our own. We are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs under your table, but it is your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. So feed us with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, that we may ever live in him and he in us. Let me remind you of what Paul tells us about the institution of the Lord's Supper. For the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. David will offer a prayer now of thanks for the bread and the wine.
Thank you, David. Let's pray. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that your perfect body was broken to give us life. We worship you, our bread of life. As we take this bread, we ask that you will always feed us with the spiritual food we need day by day. We thank you for your shed blood, Lord Jesus, which cleanses us from every sin. We thank you for the incredible cost you paid to save us. As we drink this cup, we turn from all our sins and ask you to forgive us completely. Please enable us to live lives which are confident of your total forgiveness, so that we may freely forgive those who may sin against us. Amen.
Amen. Jesus took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Our custom at the moment in these COVID times is that you will be handed the bread and the wine at the same time. We will eat the bread as we receive it, but please retain the cup so that in a few minutes we may drink together. Way, Jesus took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." So drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you. And be thankful. Most gracious God, we praise you for what you have given and for what you have promised us here. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you, and we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and that our love may be your love, reaching out into the life of the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Going to sing a lovely hymn to close. Josie and I had this hymn at our wedding. Perhaps you did too. Or on some other special occasion. Love divine, all loves excelling.
Yeah.
thank Andrew and for Stephen for playing for us. Without them doing that, we couldn't sing like we've just sung. And we thank you for those at the back who've been projecting things onto the screen and dealing with the sound for us as well. Thank you. Let's close by addressing each other with the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you.
And the ones we love.